Well, I don't know about you, but in order for me to go to sleep, I have to be in one particular position, or I am just not able to fall asleep whatsoever. I mean, I look at people who can fall asleep like anywhere, and I'm like, what? How in the world can you do that? You know, every once in a while, if I am completely and totally exhausted, I might be able to fall asleep in some weird position. I might be able to fall asleep in the recliner. But I just don't get it. Like, I know that there are lots of guys, you know, this afternoon, they'll go home, they'll turn on some game, they'll turn on some movie, and boom, they'll be able to, like, sleep in the recliner, no problem. But I am not one of those people. I have to have, like, the room at, like, 65 degrees so I can curl up in my blanket. And I have to be in just this one particular position on my side, snuggled up with my teddy bear. Yes, I'm a 31-year-old grown man who sleeps with a teddy bear to be able to fall asleep. You know, and the room has to be nice and cold. And, you know, I just have to be in that position. Oh, and did I mention, I can't have anyone touching me either. Like, I have to have my own space in bed. Every once in a while now, Natalie has been getting up early. And she'll, like, come and she'll be like, I want to snuggle with you in bed because Kathy will have already left for work. And I'm like, okay, and there is no chance of me going back to sleep at that point. She might, but she's all snuggled up with me, and I cannot have anyone touching me. And, you know, going to sleep for me, I have to be in a particular posture. You know, maybe it's not sleep, but maybe you have some other activity that you have to be in a particular posture in order to get things right. Maybe you play baseball or softball, and you just have to have that perfect batting stance, you know, in order to hit the ball right or to hit it hard to get it where you want it to go. Or maybe it's just some other activity. You know, maybe you're cooking and you're someone that you have to sit at your stove in order to cook because you're just like worn out and tired, or sit at your counter to peel the potatoes or cut, whatever it is. You know, maybe a physical therapist or a chiropractor has told you to correct your posture and to start sitting up straight in order to help with your back or neck pain. Our posture that we put ourselves in can make a big difference in the ultimate outcome. If I'm not in the right posture when I go to bed at night, I'm not going to get very good sleep. You know, if someone, it doesn't have their batting stance just right, they might strike out or, you know, hit a pop fly right out to the outfield for them to catch if they don't have their stance right. Or if you don't sit up straight, you might continue to have back pain. You see, we have to have the right posture in different things in order for us to have a positive outcome, or we might have a negative one. But what about when we look at other things in our life also? Last week, Steve started this new series about learning to pray like Jesus. And when we pray, we do put ourselves in the posture, or when we pray, do we put ourselves in the posture that we should? So, you know, one of my biggest surprises this year was one night we were getting ready to eat dinner, and we were in the kitchen and we were getting ready to pray before the meal. And, you know, we always say, all right, we're going to pray. And Maddie, you know, our little 1.5-year-old, puts her hands together and bows her head. Now, what's interesting is that's actually not something we are in common practice of doing in our house. I'm not someone who typically puts his hands together when he prays. I typically don't even bow my head or even necessarily close my eyes when I pray. But all of a sudden, Maddie is doing this. And come to find out, we asked Natalie about it. And Miss Pam, on Wednesday nights, had been teaching them to do that when they prayed. And it was a heartwarming thing to see my 1.5-year-old daughter get in a posture of prayer. So what does our posture have to do with our prayer? This morning, I want us to take a few minutes and look through different scriptures found throughout the Gospels where we find Jesus praying and examine the posture that he took in those prayers. And I want to share with you a little bit, at least how historically those postures, what they have symbolized, what they have meant, why people have prayed in that position and in that posture, and what that might mean for us today when we pray. So the first posture I want us to look at is that we find Jesus praying on his knees. In Luke chapter 22, it says this. It says, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus prayed on his knees. See, when someone gets on their knees, it's a sign of someone's willingness to surrender. To surrender to whoever they are kneeling to. And so this case, when we're talking about prayer, it is someone's willingness to surrender to God. And not only that, it is a sign when we kneel in prayer of us going down to the dust, the very dust from which God created mankind. You see, what's interesting about being on your knees is when you're on your knees, you become pretty defenseless. If you're on your knees and someone tries to attack you and they're standing up, chances are you aren't going to be able to do much about it. You're defenseless. You're showing ultimate surrender. And so here, when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's praying this prayer, he's asking God, God, if there is any other way to do this, if there is any way other than going and dying on a cross, one of the worst ways to die ever in human history, if there's any other way, God, to redeem mankind, can we please go that route? But not my will, but yours. I surrender to your will. I might not like what's about to come, but I surrender. See, when people knelt in prayer, it was a sign of surrender, of giving themselves to God and to his will. But we don't find Jesus just praying on his knees. You see, we find Jesus praying standing up as well. In Luke 9, we find this. It says, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. You see, as Jesus went up to the mountain here to pray, we find in this amazing miracle that Jesus was standing. You know, standing to pray is actually considered to be the oldest posture for prayer. And this posture has traditionally been used to acknowledge that God is beyond us, typically done with outstretched arms. You see, that God is transcendent, that He is not of this world, that He is greater than all of this world. Standing in prayer is a sign to look beyond this world to the God who is greater. What's interesting is that this posture for prayer is still the most common posture found in Eastern cultures, in Eastern churches, and in Jewish synagogues. Standing in prayer was typically a sign of thanksgiving. It is given of blessings. You see, Jesus went up and was standing to pray and showing that God was beyond all this. And what does God do? He has Moses and Elijah, who had been dead for centuries, appear with him and talk with him. Talk about acknowledgement of a God who is so much greater, who is so much stronger, who is beyond all of us. But we also find Jesus sitting down. This time in Matthew, the account of the Last Supper, it says when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who's dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You've said so." While they were eating, again, remember, Jesus is reclining at the table. Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, parentheses added by me, said a prayer of blessing. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Now, what's interesting is that this is actually one of the, if not the most uncommon posture that we find in the Bible. Yet, it is probably our most common posture in the Western church today for prayer. We hardly find this position at all in ancient culture. It actually wasn't until the Roman Catholic Church invented pews in the Middle Ages that this started to become more common. And the Protestant movement, while rejecting most things Catholic, kept this due to the nature of Protestant churches' long sermons. And so it became a normal posture in many Western churches today for people to pray sitting down, even though this is a posture we rarely see in Scripture. However, it's interesting, we do find David praying in this posture in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He comes before God, praising his name, seeking his guidance after Nathan reveals to him that God is going to establish a kingdom through his offspring. And while we take a position of sitting down, it typically has come to signify that we are ready to hear. We are ready to listen. We are ready to learn. When David comes before God, he's waiting to hear what God is going to do through him so that his son will establish his kingdom that will last forever. He is waiting for instruction. He's waiting to learn. Our posture of sitting down needs to be one of us being prepared to hear what God has to say. We're going to go back and look at Matthew's account now of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he goes beyond just Jesus being on his knees. He says this, he says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus doesn't just become somewhat defenseless by kneeling on the ground. Jesus becomes utterly defenseless, showing ultimate surrender, showing ultimate sacrifice. He had his face to the ground. He couldn't see what was coming in surrender. He was showing ultimate dependence on his Father. He was surrendering everything to God's will, saying, you know what? It's not about me anymore. It never really was. It's about you. I don't know about you, but I know there have been times in my life that I've fallen to my knees face down in prayer because, you know what? Most of the time it's become to a point where I'm so broken in my life, I'm so confused, I don't know what to do, and I come to a place where, you know what? I do. I fall to my knees and ask God, God, I've tried to do this on my own for so long now, and I was wrong. And I need to surrender to you. I think probably many of us, with some aspect of our life right now, we need to do that. We need to not just fall to our knees in prayer, but to be completely defenseless before God, being completely, giving ourselves completely to Him, to His will, in complete and total surrender, saying, God, I've tried solving my problems on my own, and I can't do it. I need to surrender to You, to Your will, whatever it is, God. If it means going to a cross for someone else, God, put it in Your hands. We also find Jesus looking up in His prayers. Looking to the heavens, looking to the skies. In Matthew 14, at the account of Jesus feeding the thousands, He says this, it says, and He directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Looking up was a sign of confidence in God. Looking up was a way of saying, God, I have complete trust in You. That You are true to Your word. And we see this confidence that Jesus has right as He is about ready to turn 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish into a meal that would feed 5,000 men plus women and children and have 12 baskets of leftovers afterwards. Talk about confidence in God. Looking up is a sign that's saying, God, I might not know how this is going to work out, but You said it. It's true. I trust in You. I have faith in You. We also find Jesus praying with His hands lifted. In Luke 24, it records this, when He had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven. Jesus was using this as a posture to send others. This was right as Jesus was about to leave earth, as He was going to go back to heaven to await His second coming. And He blesses His disciples and He sends them out. He imparts them out into a world that was dark, to bring light, to continue His mission. Jesus took a posture of sending. Now here's what I find interesting about all of these. Never once in all of these prayers do we ever find Jesus bowing His head, putting His hands together, and closing His eyes. Not to say that there's anything wrong with those at all. You see, I think one of the great things to realize about this and seeing the various postures that Jesus takes is that there is no one right way to physically be while we are praying. I mean, I remember growing up, you know, when I was probably in elementary school, you know, and we'd be praying at dinner, maybe in Sunday school class. And, you know, right after the prayer, I'd be like, Carrie had her eyes open during the prayer. Which immediately the teacher would be like, how do you know that if your eyes were closed? You see, there's no right way. I mean, we do things like bowing our heads, putting our hands together, closing our eyes to be able to focus and able to block out distractions so we aren't fiddling with our hands or fiddling with our phones, so we aren't focused on what our neighbor is doing, maybe clipping their nails or whatever it is, so that we can focus. That's why we have a tendency to do that in our culture. That's why we have a tendency to teach our kids that, because, trust me, our kids get easily distracted. Our physical posture can be very important when we pray, just as we saw with the different positions and postures that Jesus took. You know, sometimes when we pray, we do other things. Like, we do pray with our arms outstretched to signify surrender. Sometimes we pray on our knees to actually show reverence. Sometimes we curl up in a ball on our bed and sob because we feel like we are in such despair at the time and that this is the only way we feel we can be right now in prayer. But as we examine those physical postures, I don't think those are the most important things when it comes to praying. What about the posture of our heart? Next week, Steve is going to be drawing ideas of what we can learn from the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. But I want to take a brief look at what Jesus has to say right before giving the people the model prayer in Matthew. He says this, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. You see, some of the people at the time were praying with an improper posture. They were outstanding where everyone could see them to pray. They were out on the street corner so that they would be seen. While Jesus is talking about where these people physically were, I don't believe it was their physical posture he had a problem with, but it was a problem of their heart. You see, their intentions and their prayers seem to have absolutely nothing to do with their relationship and their communication with God. Their prayers were about drawing attention to themselves. They wanted other people to see how close they were to God by broadcasting their conversations with Him for all to hear. Their posture of their heart said, hey, look at me. I'm closer to God than you are. Otherwise, you would be out here too praying on the streets. And he says the same thing about the length of their prayers. It's not really the length of their prayers that mattered, but it was their heart was in the wrong place. Again, they were wanting to be seen. They wanted to be recognized for their prayers. They wanted to be seen as more righteous. You see, clearly praying before even thousands of people was in a wrong picture. Jesus did that when he fed the 5,000, he gave thanks and prayed before thousands of people. Clearly, praying a long-winded prayer isn't wrong. Jesus spent all night before he set apart the 12 apostles praying all night long. See, it didn't have to do with the pagans and them speaking or praying in front of thousands, or that they prayed forever and ever. It had to do with why they were praying, where their heart was at. Did they want a relationship with God? Did they want to communicate with God to bring things before Him? Or were they praying to draw attention to themselves? Was their prayer all about me, 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 or was it about him? So how do we position our heart to be in the proper posture? Well, I think we can gather some clues from Jesus' postures. First of all, one of the things that we see Jesus instructing them there in Matthew 6, right before he gives the Lord's Prayer, is he tells them to pray alone. You see, when we're by ourselves, we kind of lose the whole idea of praying for others to see how righteous we are. Because no one's seeing you. When you're alone, just you and God, it kind of takes some motivational shift. I'll tell you one of the most powerful experiences I've had in prayer are the times that I've been able to go out in nature with maybe just my Bible and a bottle of water, and to spend time out in God's creation, just me and Him. To be able to lay my soul bare before Him. To seek Him, to seek His guidance, what He wants for me, what He wants from me. Just me and Him. When there's no one else to impress, it's hard for it to be about others or about impressing others. One of the common threads we also find through Jesus' postures and through Jesus' prayer is that He gave thanks a lot. I think too often we treat God in our prayers like a vending machine. Say, God, I want a new Camaro. God, I want my cat to stop wheezing. God, I want more money. God, I want dot, dot, dot. And I'm not saying that it is wrong for us to ask God things or to ask God for things. But it quickly, when that becomes our motivation all the time, our prayers again become about us. And not about Him. And when we pray with thanksgiving, when we pray thanking God for the things that He has given us, our heart starts to change. Because we also start to see the blessings in our life, even in the midst of despair and gloom. Yeah, I don't have a job right now, but I've got kids who love me. I've got friends who've provided food on my table or who've let me come over and eat. Yeah, I might be recovering from a surgery right now and I'm in excruciating pain, but I have a church family who is praying for my recovery. And I have a God who loves me and who is the great physician who, despite my physical pain, has cured my spiritual pain of sin. And when we live a life of thanksgiving, when we pray with thanksgiving, our heart starts to change and our prayers become focused on others. Although we do have to be a little careful even with praying with thanksgiving, because it can quickly again become about us. You see, Jesus tells this parable in Luke 18. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance, not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And so I just want to remind you that when we pray with thanksgiving, don't make your thanksgiving about, God, I'm so great. Thank you. Recognize, one, where that greatness has come from, because you are nothing without Him. But the thanks and glory and honor goes to God. Lastly, something to help our posture of our heart be in the right place is to focus our prayer on God and others. Make it less about you and more about Him. Examine the things that He's done for you in your life. Seek His guidance. Don't say, God, I really want this new job. Give it to me. You say, God, I trust you. That's where you want me to be. Put me there. If you want me someplace else, put me there. If you want me right where I am, put me there. Focus on God and His will. And focus your prayers on other people. Like He told in that parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's when you humble yourself, when you put others first, that's when you'll be exalted. So where is the posture of your heart? Has everything been focused on me, me, me? Do you need to kind of change some things? Make it more about Him. To give glory and honor and thanksgiving to the God who can help you in all circumstances. Where's the posture of your heart been? We're going to give you an opportunity. An opportunity, if you've never made that decision, to give your heart to God, to initially put it in the right place to begin with, to make that decision, to say, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to put myself in a posture to surrender my heart, my life, my all to God. Or maybe you've made that commitment and you need to reevaluate it. Maybe you need to change some things. You need to reposition your posture. Go to the chiropractor of the heart. And you want prayer for God to help you do that. We want to encourage you to come forward, and we'd like to pray with you. We'd like to talk with you about that as we sing our invitation song.